And welcome back to The Modern Witch. I'm your host, Devin Hunter. You're listening to me here on the Pagan Radio Network. We've got a really good show today. We're going to be talking about the magic of New Orleans, and we happen to have one of the contemporary, I would say, kind of experts. And I'm going to say that she didn't call herself an expert, but you grew up in a city, you own a witchcraft shop in a city, you host a festival in a city. You get a pretty good idea of the magic of that city. So we've got Kim Carol Perilou on, and she is our she's going to be our little tour guide through the magic of New Orleans today. So that's going to be really exciting. Of course, if you haven't already, you should totally go check out www.modernwitchonline.com because that is where where your hub is for all of the awesome modern witchery stuff that's up. So you should go check out the website because, again, there's a lot of stuff on there. And it's all stuff for you. So definitely go check that out. And we do have the Modern Witch Book Club that was supposed to be starting on the 20th. That's not going to happen, partly because the book author is out of town and I couldn't pinpoint him down, and I'm not going to go actually track him down on his vacation. That would be what a bad friend would do. So I'm not going to do that, but we will be starting at the beginning of next month, and that'll give some people who have emailed me a little extra time to make sure that you get all your stuff in and you do what you got to do. So we are greatly looking forward to starting that and offering that to the community. I know Rabbit and I are just kind of beaming with it. So once again, that's Buddha, Christ, Merlin, Three Wise Men for Our Age. Go check it out. If you have a submission for Modern Witch Magazine, if you'd like to be in the magazine, you can send that submission to, it'll be submissions@modernwitchmag.com, and go ahead and send it. I need it by the 20th. If you're interested in maybe being in the magazine, that'll be releasing on October 31st in no other than New Orleans. That's going to be really exciting. And of course, you can go to modernwitchonline.com, click on magazine, and you can order your copy today. We have both digital and hard copies available of volumes 1 and 2. So yeah, there you go. Real quick, a special thanks to The Mystic Dream for our underwriting support. We literally could not do the show without them. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And you can visit them by going to www.themysticdream.com. They've got condition oils, essential oils, candles, crystals, pendulums, experts. I mean, like literally anything you might possibly need. You should go check it out, their website, because they probably have it. So, yes, go check them out. And once again, you're listening to The Modern Witch here on the Pagan Radio Network. And we're going to take a little bit of a musical break. And when we come back, we're going to be starting a little bit of a magical tour through the city of New Orleans. And we're going to be talking about the magic that's there after the hurricane, before the hurricane, and kind of, you know, what makes New Orleans such a unique, magical city. It's going to be a really fun episode. Hope you stick around.
Yeah. I am the sun and the air of a shyness that is criminally vulgar. I'm the senator of nothing in particular. You shut your mouth, how can you say I go about things the wrong way? I am human and I need to be loved just like everybody else does. There's a club if you'd like to go. You could meet someone who really loves you. So you go and you spend on your own, and you leave on your own, and you go home and you cry and you want to die.
No matter where you come from in the United States of America, if you are a magic practitioner, you've heard of a city called New Orleans. If you are a music lover, you've heard of a city called New Orleans. And if you were awake a couple years ago and you got to see any of the news about Katrina, then you've heard about New Orleans. New Orleans is known for being an incredible cultural center for many, 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 many different people. And one of the things, of course, that is highlighted there is the mysticism, the magic, the churches, the cathedrals. There seems to be this very interesting hub of energy that is there within the city. And I always I always wonder what it would be like to have grown up there. I always wonder what it would be like to visit. I've never been able to visit. And every year I have friends go off on vacation and they'd come back with all of these really amazing stories and they would tell me, oh, you have to go to New Orleans. So I wonder what it would be like to go there, to have been born and raised there, to have really just had your magic sculpted there. So I invited one of my friends, Carol Perilou, who is the organizer and founder for the New Orleans Witches Ball, to come on and tell us about what it's like to be a witch in New Orleans.
Being a witch in New Orleans. Okay. It is, I think it's the best place to be a witch.
If anyone can tell us what it's like to be a witch in New Orleans, it's Carol.
The culture here is very open to occult people, obviously. We've got a large community here of all sorts, voodoo people, witch people, OTO people, you know, just a big conglomeration of people doing their own thing. So, for example, if you're going to toss something out in the crossroads, it's not like you have to sneak out. People know what you're doing, you know.
Imagine that, never having to look over your shoulder when it's time to do magic. Carol is one of few people who can actually boast a very unique relationship to the city. She used to own a store for witches called Witchy Living, and that definitely gave her some unique insights into the city.
It's kind of like that. So, you know, you see people down by the river, they're putting stuff in the water. There's, you know, candles all over the place in people's houses. You know, you don't look twice at an altar because you just know what it is. You know, it's nice. I never really thought of it as being any place special because of I grew up here. So I didn't realize until I had gone to other places and started talking to other people, you know, as an adult, just how fortunate I am to be here and be able to live openly like this. It's just not a thing. So, you know, because from, I mean, witchcraft is just, it's not what I do. It's who I am. I'm just a witch, you know, and I can be that here without a second thought.
Some of you may remember that in 2005, Hurricane Katrina came through what was the Mississippi Gulf Coast and completely destroyed it. Hundreds of years of history and culture washed away. New Orleans was one of the cities that were hardest hit. And, well, we all know what happened after that.
Well, you know, let me just say this. Right after the storm, my husband worked for the state at the time. And so we evacuated to Baton Rouge, and because that's where his job said he had to go. So we weren't too far away, but we were far enough away that we weren't, you know, we weren't in the thick of it right after it happened. And he came back down about a week and a half after the storm to retrieve some important equipment. And he came back and his face was just so flat. I mean, everything just devastated us a lot emotionally. And he told me, I said, I want to go back home. He said, I don't think you want to be there right now. And I'm like, you know, but it's home. It's, you know, it's New Orleans. It's fine. You know, it's going to be fine. And he just looked so disheartened. So, we came back on the 18th of September to come, you know, to check on our house. Cause we still thought that we had everything at that point because we lived on the second floor. And I drove into the city and it was devoid of everything. It was flat. It was just so drained. It was like the storm had just kind of sucked everything out when it, you know, traveled up north. And I cried the entire time I was here. You know, and we went and looked at our house, and of course the roof was like destroyed. So all of our stuff was gone anyway. So I was like, I cried about that. And then I said, you know what, I need to go someplace in the city that's not so damaged. And that was the French Quarter, which is the original section of the city, because it's on the highest ground. That's why it was built there, because it's on that part of the river, you know, that had overflowed so much. Anyway, so we went into one of the bars and we got a beer out of an ice chest and we were sitting there just quiet, you know. And I said, let's go ride around a little bit. And we went down Frenchman Street, which is right outside of the French Quarter. It's where a lot of the locals go for music and whatnot. And there was a sign in the window of a place called Snug Harbor. And it said, "Fear not, brothers and sisters, Jazz City will swing again." And I just burst into tears because I was like, and I just took a deep breath and I just knew. I said, it will be fine. It will be fine. And sure enough, I mean, the people here are extremely resilient, and it kind of knocked everybody flat. And then people stood up and, you know, there was all that political talk about, you know, we don't need New Orleans. We just need to let it go. And basically everyone here gave them the big F you, you know, we're coming back. And almost immediately, I mean, you know, there were events that were scheduled for Halloween that year that went on at a much smaller scale, you know, but I think it really brought the community together as a whole. People just really worked together to get things back. And with that comes the magic that people carry around with them. So it's that energy was repopulated very quickly. And since the storm, I think people, you know, they realize that indeed New Orleans is one of those places that just survives. I mean, it's been through so many things over the years, you know, back in the olden days with all of the plagues and the, you know, yellow fever and all that other stuff that we'd wipe the place out. People just, they survive here. And I think that goes along with the magic. I mean, you just, you know, you are who you are and you live here because you can't live anywhere else, you know? And I think that that really is what came through after the storm, is that it's here and, you know, your feet are kind of glued to the ground here and you just don't ever really go anywhere else for long.
Stay tuned. You're listening to The Modern Witch here on the Pagan Radio Network.
Yes, I am a witch, and I have conjured you for my bidding. Just instruments to lock you up. How could I know my spell was broke? I am nothing like the girl you thought I was without your love. How could I haunt you? From the depth of the forest she will find you. She will drag you up and call you into being. She will lay her naked body on the debris. She will howl until her spirit overruns the city. She will rise up through the cracks between the pavements. She will buckle train lines, bridges all collapsing. And the towers of the mighty become frail as she opens up her belly to devour. Come and take over, creator, destroyer. Upon the shoreline, she will swallow up the iron that was stolen. She will vomit up the plastic and the poison. Her oceans will make islands of the mainlands. Her tendrils will be wrapped around the cables, and the buried bones of buildings will lie vacant as she feeds upon the ribcage of forever, forever.
I realized that one of the most magical moments for me after the storm, one of the first ones that really stuck out in my mind, we had relocated back home. This was several months after the storm, and we're walking around the French Quarter, and there weren't a lot of people back in town yet. It was quiet, which the French Quarter is never quiet, but it was very quiet, and it was close to midnight, and the moon was out, and there was just a light mist of rain, and it felt like we were in the city by ourselves, and it just washed over me this feeling of, just this ancestral flow of, we're here, we're still here. You're here, and it was just like this big swirling mist of energy that just kind of flew through me. And I just felt very grounded to the city at that moment in time, more so than I usually do. And it was just, it took my breath away, just that moment in time. I'll never forget it, that moment in time when it just was this big misty fog and swirl down the street of this breeze of energy from, you know, those who have been here and are still here with us, you know. We always like to say I walk in the dust of my ancestors here. And that was really driven home at that moment. And, you know, and again, I mean, that was, it was really magical. And even from my husband, who's not, he's an atheist, you know, he's very scientific and logical. And, you know, I could tell that he felt something. He said, it feels really good here right now. And that's a lot, that's a big statement from him to be able to feel something. And he, you know, we talked about it afterwards and he really felt that flow kind of go through him as well, you know. And just there were other things, you know, going back to the cemeteries again, seeing how people had come in to clean the cemeteries, because this, you know, our cities of the dead here, as we call them, are very important. And you know, people had come in and just cleaned them, and they had that kind of, that hum was there in them. And it would, you know, it was just, it's was good to walk through them again. And, you know, cause you kind of draw that kind of energy in from that as well. And, you know, but that moment in the French Quarter, I think, was really one of the more magical moments for me.
Now, Carol's a pretty eclectic witch. And, I know obviously New Orleans is world famous for its voodoo, but what's it like to be a witch in New Orleans if you're not necessarily a voodoo practitioner?
It's, you know, I can't say that I don't dip into that, because that's really what I grew up with. So a lot of what I do is mixed with a lot of hoodoo type things. You know, I'm not a member of the voodoo community, but I'm on the fringes of it. I go to their rituals and ceremonies and whatnot, because they're very open and invite anybody to come in. You know, I go to a drumming circle at another temple here, a voodoo temple here. So it's easy, but I think that even there's a Covenant of the Pentacle Wiccan churches here, and they're a really great group of people, and they're very Wiccan. I mean, you know, but even they, I find you can't help but be drawn into that aspect of it, because it surrounds you so much here. So, you know, it infuses its way into the things that you do.
New Orleans is also known not just for its ability to kind of bring in several different cultural traditions and spiritualities, but it's actually kind of a hot spot. It's kind of a hotbed of psychic and metaphysical activity.
It's hot. it's hot, literal temperature wise. It's hot a lot of the time, but it is a hot spot. I mean, it just, you know, I always tell people that have never been here, you know, you don't understand it until you get here and your feet start walking on the ground and you feel the magic here. It's just, it's literally in the air. It's even in the simple things like the food, you know, the architecture, the history, all of these things culminate into this big spiritual gumbo, I guess. And when you're here, you partake. I mean, you can't help but partake. So you breathe in the air. And again, you know, that those ancestral spirits are there. They're everywhere, and you breathe them in, and it becomes part of your, you know, your DNA. It changes you at a cellular level. I really believe that. So, I could count on one hand the number of people that I've met that have come to this city and really just didn't like it at all. Now, I mean, there are parts of it that aren't for everyone. Not everyone wants to go hang out on Bourbon Street. You know, not everyone wants to go uptown and look at all the big houses with the trees. Some people want to do just the cemeteries and the voodoo stuff. But there's something here for everybody. There's some aspect of this city that will touch you on a spiritual level. And when you step back and you take a look at the whole picture of what New Orleans is with the people and the love that the people have for the city, and the fierce way that we defend our staying here through thick and thin, people sense that, and they sense the community and they sense the love, you know, because I mean, we people down here, you know, we kind of gibber back and forth and, you know, there's all kinds of political stuff, you know, as is anywhere. But when it comes down to it, it's just this big soup of awesomeness. I don't know how else to put it. You know, you just, like I said, when you get here, you know that when you leave, you're going to be really sorry and you're going to want to come back again, because it touches something way deep inside. And you know, I think you leave here and you're better able to feel your own magic inside.
Thank you.
This is Devin Hunter, and you're listening to The Modern Witch on the Pagan Radio Network. Every city is known for something. It's known for, you know, its own kind of unique slice of the pie. You know, here in San Francisco, we've got the Painted Ladies, these beautiful houses. We've got all kinds of gay history and, of course, beautiful ocean views. But New Orleans is known for things, of course, that are a little different. And I wanted to find out what makes New Orleans, New Orleans. What is something that is quintessentially New Orleans?
Well, you know, I have to say, I think that the way that we say goodbye to our dead is very unique. It's a big party. You know, there, I don't know if you've ever seen a second line for somebody or a jazz funeral. We dance with our dead literally. You know, part of the jazz funeral process, you see this for musicians especially, you know, they come out of the church. It's very somber. There's a brass band that's playing this very mournful music. And, you know, these guys are carrying the casket along to the hearse to go off to the cemetery. And all of a sudden, this band will just pop up and it starts playing this joyous music. And the casket is literally danced. I mean, they tip it and they twirl it and they throw it up in the air and they catch it and it's swung from side to side. And it, you literally dance someone into their final resting place. It's amazing to watch. And I think that the way that we're comfortable with our dead people here, you know, is really powerful. They're accessible. It's not something afar off in this great beyond that you can't reach out to. You know, I have an ancestor altar in my house. I'm there every day. I'm at it every day. You know, there's candles lit every day. I'm dusting. I'm talking to my grandmother and, you know, I put down food and she gets cigarettes. And, you know, there's a lot of people that hear that you just, they're dead, but okay. So you still get to talk to them, you know, and you can feel that. I mean, my daughter is always, my grandmother had this rocking chair. Okay. And it's in my living room right now. And my daughter, whenever she's fussing about something or whatever, invariably, I don't know how the thing moves, but it like moves around and she'll trip over it. And she knows that it's my grandmother saying, "Hey, what are you doing?" You know, and it's that connectivity that she makes automatically. And that's not with anybody ever having told her anything. I mean, she grew up with me. So obviously she's had some, you know, some shaping and whatnot, but that connection here with, you know, our beloved dead. I mean, that's what they are. They're very beloved. They're very here and now and in the present and accessible.
You're listening to The Modern Witch here on the Pagan Radio Network, underwriting support sponsored by The Mystic Dream, www.themysticdream.com, and paganradio.net. With all those spirits around, there's got to be a couple of allies to work with as a witch. I mean, of course, we've got Marie Laveau, but who else?
Yeah, there's absolutely. There's Marie Laveau. I mean, and then, you know, you get into all of the, you know, once again, you know, the diasporic type figures. A lot of saints, believe it or not, were very mixed with Catholicism here. Believe it or not, Our Lady of Prompt Succor is who you go to for storm protection, you know? I mean, there's a lot of mixture here with, you know, saints and, you know, the voodoo stuff. There's lots of cross with that. So, you know, it's not uncommon here for somebody like me. You could go into a Catholic church and, you know, pray to one of the saints for whatever. A saint expedite is always a huge you know, huge, huge thing here. And people believe that, you know, any offerings left to him, he will help you out with Marie Laveau. So, I mean, there's those two things. He makes things happen, you know, and, you know, he likes things like pound cake and he likes the color red, you know, so there's all of these cross. It's very syncretized. How about that? There's a lot of mixture there. You know, all the Papa Legba, nobody does anything without, you know, getting him to open up the gates. And so, you know, there's so many, and everyone has their own little, I hate to say the term personal Jesus, but that's what comes to mind.
It's fair enough. Everyone deserves their own imaginary friend from time to time.
Yeah, everybody does. And you know, you can ask people, you know, what do you do, you know? And that's what they do. Oh, well, I like, you know, this, you know, St. Barbara, or, you know, Oshun, or, you know, you get all these various answers, and it's like, it's really kind of all jumbled up, and it can be very confusing, you know, because you're like, well, wait a minute, that's like Catholic Christian stuff, but it's different down here. You know, you know, being kind of public over the last few years with the shop and the event and stuff, you know, you get a lot of people that are so against anything that has to do with Christianity. And it's really unfortunate, because that, you know, there's an energy there as well that you can draw from. And it doesn't mean that you're Christian, but, you know, it's all jumbled down here. So you'll get people that mix and mash all kinds of stuff up. And it's great, because it's what works for them, you know? And I think that's one of the big beauties about being here, is that, you know, you get to be your own kind of weirdo and nobody really cares. It's like, oh, okay, that's cool, you know? And I think that's one of the things that New Orleans does too, is you get down here and you kind of look around, and let me tell you, you see all kinds of stuff down here, and it's just not weird for you to see it. You know, I mean, we got a naked guy that rides around my neighborhood on a 2-story bike, and he's naked. You know, they do try to keep him to get him to keep his underwear on, but, you know, and there's, it's just, but it's not a thing. I mean, you go down to the, you know, different parties and stuff in the quarter. I mean, we got pirates all over the place. There's witches all over the place. There's vampires all over the place, and everybody's doing their thing, or they'll, you know, and then there's, you know, this religion or craft stuff mixed all in it, and it's all good.
Marie, Marie, my voodoo, oh, she put a spell on you. Marie, Marie, my voodoo, oh, she put a spell on you. Marie, Marie, my voodoo, oh, she's a witch queen of New Orleans. Of New Orleans. I'm gonna tell you a story strange in my teeth, of zombie voodoo people and the witch queen of New Orleans. She lived in a world of magic, possessed by the devil's goo. From a shack near the swamp, I hear the mud vibrating in a place where the witch has been. Marie, Marie, my voodoo, oh, she put a spell on you. Marie, Marie, my voodoo, oh, she put a spell on you. Marie, Marie, my voodoo, oh, she's a witch queen of New Orleans. Of New Orleans. Of a ton of leaf guaranteed to blow your mind. Early one morning into Monkey Swamp Dew, Fairness Mary was hating that. Though she never returned, all the Cajuns knew the witch queen would never die.
Marima, Marima, voodoo. She put a spell on you. Marima, Marima, voodoo. She put a spell on you. Marima, Marima, voodoo. She's a witch queen of New Orleans.
One of the newest attractions to the New Orleans witches scene is the New Orleans Witches Ball. And just like before, if anybody's able to talk about it, it's going to be Carol.
Well, you know, I always like going to parties. I mean, that's one thing about being down here is that there's always something really fun going on. And there's a lot of great events down here. But the biggest things have always been the vampire balls here on Halloween. Now, I work really close hand in hand with the Anne Rice Vampire Lestat fan club's coven ball is what they call. They have it every year. Theirs is a lot of fun. And there was another event down here too, another vampire ball that I went to a couple of years ago. And it just wasn't my scene. You know, I was there. It was fine. Yeah, a lot of beautiful costumes and all, you know, music and whatnot. But, you know, it was not my scene, and there was no place for me to sit. And like I told you before, I'm a fat girl in heels, and I want a place to sit down. And I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know, I'm having a good time here, but there's no spiritual meaning to this for me. So I said, you know what, there's no witch's ball here. And that's unreal to me that there's no witch's ball here, because this is the perfect place for it. I said, I'm going to have a witch's ball next year. And I told a couple of my friends, I said, I'm going to have a witch's ball next year. And they were like, that's just a year away. I said, I know it is, and I'm going to do it. And I did it. I mean, the next day I was out looking for venues, and I put it all together because I wanted a place and an event for witches to go to that catered towards us. You know, if you want to come to the witch's ball dressed as a vampire, that's fine. But the event is for witches. It's organized by witches. One of the central themes is the ritual that we do. You're not going to find that at another event. Not really. I mean, so that was one of the things that I wanted to do, was to have a ritual. I wanted to have it at a magical place where people felt, you know, when they got all dressed up, they came in and they were just swept away, just taken to this very magical place for the evening, where you could feel a sense of community. You could feel a sense of magic around you by being with a bunch of other magical people who were more or less on the same path as you, not necessarily the same tradition, but who get where you're coming from when you say you're a witch, or you say you're, you know, you're whatever you are. So that was the big thing, is just that I wanted to create just something to look forward to. You know, again, just that sense of magic and a sense of being swept away for an evening, and to celebrate as well. I mean, we are celebrating a certain time of the year. You know, we're kicking off that dark half of the year, and the veil is thin, and we're reaching out, and it's just a very prime time for us. And I think that to gather as a group is really powerful. So that's what I wanted. I wanted this whole big thing to kind of meld together and just be a destination for people to come to and say, I'm looking forward to that. You know, I want to go there. I want to feel that magic for the night. I want to go be with a bunch of other people and either watch or participate in this ritual. I want to hear witchy music. I want to hear, you know, conversations with people around me that are meaningful to me on a spiritual level. And I'm not saying that it's not still a big party, because it really is. It's a big party. You know, it's a lot of fun. You know, there's lots of alcohol and lots of good food and good music, and it's in a beautiful, beautiful venue. And overall, I think it's just amazing. I was really excited last year to be able to pull that together, and to see how happy people were when they got there and realized, hey, I really, really, really love this. And that was a big thing for me, was to be able to create something like that for people to come to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. It's the, you know, I don't know how to pronounce this. The Van Benthison, I think is how they say it. They just call it the Elms Mansion. Basically, the lady that owns it now, it was her grandfather's home, and it served as a, like the basement of it served as this kind of a spy place. it was the German consulate in World War II. And in the cellar, they would like inform the U-boats in the Gulf about departures from the city of ships. So it was like this, you know, little secret spy place in the cellar of this house. So, but it does have a good history. It's been there since the early 1830s, I think. And it, you feel it when you walk in the house. I mean, you can see the pictures of it online. It's elmsmansion.com, and you can take a virtual tour of it on there. But it's just, when I was looking at venues, you know, I went around to different places and I walked in there, and I said, I knew it. This is it. This is it. You know, you just walk in and you can just feel that this is a really cool place. So, you know, now the lady that owns it, you know, uses it for events, and they actually live in the back part of, you know, a smaller back part of the house. And it's just phenomenal. I can't say enough good things about it, about the house itself. And then, of course, about the people that, you know, the lady that owns it and the people that do all of the stuff for the functions now. It's really top notch. So
you might just want to check it out. This has been part one of a part two series on the magic of New Orleans. I'm Devin Hunter, and you're listening to The Modern Witch.
I grew up seeing things a little differently, appearing, disappearing, hardly innocent, nor tied down to the ground. I learned to roll and tumble with the punches, glory in my stripes and spots, walk by invisible and never make a sound. But heavy is the crown that's always hidden, tender is the heart you never see. Hard and fast shines the grin that we flash, but there's a vulnerable stripe or two on me. Maybe any place outside a wonderland is not for me, my friend. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. Sun up, sun down, the shadows hide me down in Wonderland, Wonderland. Nobody knows the way, but if you find it in your dreams, you can find it at your day job somewhere south of hell. Take the path to left or right with just your gut to guide you. The story is not for anyone else to tell.
Go down the rabbit hole and out the other side. You can't go home in the middle of the magic carpet ride. You gotta greet the sun before his lovely daughter moon. You can't forsake the journey for the safety of your room
until you learn your learn to see and hear everybody loud and clear, but the truth comes down in riddles that are safe enough to share. That's how it is in songs you see, and stripes always looked good on me, whether or not I'm really there. Heavy is the burden of the wise ones when no one understands a word they say. The Jabberwock never bothered anyone, but nobody believes him to this day. Hey, and why should they? If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. Sun up, sun down, the shadows find me out in Wonderland, Wonderland. Nobody knows the way, but if you find it in your dreams, you can find it at your day job somewhere south of hell. Take the path to left or right with just your gut to guide you. The story is not for anyone else to tell.
love it right. You gotta greet the sun before his lovely daughter moon. You can't forsake the journey for the safety of your room until you learn your lesson well. Is it the stripes or the spots you see? Was it hearts or diamonds, baby, brought you here to me? Darling, you know better than to trust a pack of cards. What have we learned? The world is never as mad as it could be. Never as mad as it could be. We're all mad here, and it's okay. I promise. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here, and it's okay. If I leave my grin behind, remind me that we're all mad here. And it's okay.
Last week we had Evo Dominguez Jr. on, and we talked about past lives. And if you paid attention online, on the Facebook and on the Twitter feeds, then you knew that I asked you to call in and say something witchy. And so here's what one of our listeners had to say about past lives.
Thank you, Devin, for asking this question. My experience of reincarnation and past lives shows a heavy emphasis in my tradition on non-duality, that the body and the spirit are in more ways than not one and the same. So when I die, all the pieces that make up me, the flesh and bone and the various elements that science will tell you about, vitamins and minerals, and perhaps my will and emotion and wisdom will separate out, will decompose into the air, and the earth and the water, and be taken up by plants and animals and all the rest of life, so that I indeed have never really begun or stopped living. I was born into this shape in this situation, but then I'll pass from it into others, so there's no real end of life. There's many, many forms or incarnations. Today I'm a human, but in a small matter of time I'll be the rain that other humans are blessing or cursing, or the dirt under some guy's fingernails, or the smoke from the logs burned at Samhain. Thank you again for asking the question, and green blessings.
Do you have something witchy to say? How about something about an experience you had with New Orleans? Give us a call and say something witchy at 321-20-WITCH. 321-20-WITCH. And do so by Thursday, and you might just make it on next week's episode of The Modern Witch. Once again, if you've got a story about New Orleans, give us a call and say something witchy. All right, guys. Well, I think this just about does it. This wraps it up for this week. We will be back again next week with more talk about New Orleans and all of the magic of New Orleans. And we definitely have an interesting show for next week. So I hope you tune back in, and I love you. Thank you for tuning in this week. And you guys are awesome. So take care, and we'll see you on the flip side.